Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a family is tormented by strange occurrences in their house in the middle of the night that scare them to their core. How do they handle it? That's what we find out today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And it is 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com and support our program by becoming a what?
A EPP.
Extra podcast person. Yeah, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And $5 a month gets you access to all the bonus episodes, all the advanced episodes, ad-free, ebook, audiobook. All of that is yours. And there's like more than 320-some bonus episodes for you to binge away on when you sign up there. And support the program and keep us on the air. It's the special weekend edition of Real Ghost Stories Online. Harper with us, as she always is. How are you doing this fine day?
I am doing good.
That's good. I'm happy to hear that. Are you ready for some ghost stories today?
Of course I am.
As we're getting closer and closer to October.
Which is amazing. I can't wait until Halloween so we can get our sugar rush on and watch some cheesy old movies.
Get our sugar rush on and watch some cheesy old movies. Yes, indeed. And your costume actually has come in the mail now.
Yep. It is I Love Lucy.
Yes, it is. I didn't know if we're going to keep it a secret until the moment of, but I guess not.
If you don't know what that show is, go check it out on Hulu. It's such a classic.
That's exactly what it is. And I Love Lucy is new to Harper. But obviously to many of us, it's not. But she absolutely loves I Love Lucy. So she's going to pull off an awesome Lucy for Halloween. And we invite you to join us on Halloween night here at Real Ghost Stories Online on our Facebook page. We're going to do a Facebook Live and Harper will be in full Lucy costume. Me and Jen will be there as well and we'll have a good time. So that's how we're going to celebrate Halloween this year and getting our sugar rush on.
Yep.
At the same time.
So. Since we can't go trick-or-treating, we are going to eat some of last year's Halloween candy. And then the day after Halloween, we're going to go to the store and get some really low-priced bags of candy.
Is that how you want to do it?
Yeah.
Okay, because I was going to get you regular price bags of candy the day before, but I think you may have a point. We still do have Halloween candy from last year.
Yeah, we'll just eat buckets of that.
Eat that and then what? Go get discount candy and then you get twice as much candy? Is that your thought process?
Yeah.
You're already a step ahead of the game. Okay. I've not said that to her. I didn't say like, let's wait till day two and go get it at half price. She's already figured that out. Okay. Well, every time I talk to you, it's just funny because you're like, yeah. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here. At Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You have a great aunt that actually, I don't know if she still does. I doubt it, but I don't know. She would do the half price candy thing after Easter and after Halloween and after Christmas. And she literally had two freezers in her basement and she had like padlocks on them. And she would go get all the after holiday candy as much as she could get her hands on. And then she'd store it in these freezers downstairs. And then she would lock the freezers because she didn't want her daughter getting into the candy because it's a lot of candy. So I get it. I don't really blame her for locking the freezers. I just thought it was funny that she had two full freezers that were strictly for, you know, candy that she got at a massive discount. But they had candy for the rest of the year. So that was good.
Yeah.
There's probably still candy in that freezer from like 1989. I wonder if chocolate lasts that long. Probably not, but.
Isn't it? I think chocolate might be dairy. No, it comes from a bean.
It does come from a bean, but milk chocolate has milk involved in it, and anything in a freezer for roughly 20 some years might be a little freezer burned at some point.
Okay. So, yeah. I didn't want.
Not that we have a 20-year-old freezer that you have to worry about that with, but just saying, just in case you ever come across a 20-some-year-old freezer with a padlock on it and you open it up and you see the bag of Reese's says copyright 1989, they're probably not good anymore. So the more you know. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories. Let's go to the first story. It says, hey guys, I have literally a million stories I could tell you. I've had many encounters and I've been followed by entities my entire life, especially when I worked in a nursing home. But that's a story for another time. This one I want to tell you now is my most recent experience. I lived in a home with my sister, her boyfriend, my partner, and my sister have two children. The activity started with a balloon in my niece's bedroom. It was one of those Mylar balloons that said happy birthday on it that my niece had gotten for her birthday. The balloon lasted an unusually long time. Every morning, my sister or I would go to wake up my niece. The balloon would be hovering over her in a strange way that kind of made it look like a person. Getting tired of this, my sister decided to shove the balloon in her closet and shut the doors. But every morning without fail, the balloon would be right back next to where my niece was sleeping. My sister's boyfriend was irritated by this as well. Took the balloon outside and stabbed it a bunch of times. And for a while, everything went back to normal for the most part. Then one day, while I was in the bathroom doing my makeup, the shower caddy lifted off the command hook in the shower and flew across the bathroom. I stood there in shock for a few moments, then ran back to the bedroom where my partner was. I told him about the experience, and he went into the bathroom and told me that the command had about the command hook. The hook was still on the wall, so it didn't slide off, to which I replied, "It's outside the shower on the other side of the bathroom." Of course, it didn't just slide off. But he has always been a skeptic, so he didn't really believe that anything paranormal had happened, which, fair enough. Oh, I am sure to him there was a logical explanation for it. Then the closet doors, cabinet doors, and fridge started opening and closing by themselves in the middle of the night. Hard to excuse that as anything rational. I would often feel as though something was following me through the house. There were always eyes on me, burning a hole through the back of my head. One day, well, me, my sister, my partner, and my sister's boyfriend were all outside smoking and kids were at their grandparents for the weekend, and a light upstairs turns on by itself. We all rush upstairs to see what's going on, and the light is back off and no one is in the room. None of us ever really saw anything until this next thing happened. I taken my sister to work in the morning, and then I went to work myself. After a few hours, my sister's boyfriend woke up and was looking for me to ask me to watch the kids for a couple of hours. He walked upstairs, saw someone leaning over the counter in the bathroom with blonde hair, a white shirt, and pink shorts. He assumed this was me and walked into his bedroom before walking out to ask me to keep an eye on the kids. When he got back out into the hallway, the bathroom light was off and the door was mostly closed. He asked my partner where I'd ran off to, and my partner had told him that I took my sister to work that morning and that I'd been at work myself and have been gone several hours. He told him I must have come home because he just saw me in the bathroom. My partner told him that no, I did not come home. And the last time he talked to me about 10 minutes before that, I was about 45 minutes away in a totally different town. My sister's boyfriend and my partner told him that I had often expressed I believe the bathroom was the focal point of our haunting. We moved out shortly after that, not because of the ghost, but because my sister had found a better house for her and her family and me, and my partner were able to move back across the country anyways. I moved back in with my parents temporarily to get ready for the 2,700-mile move, and I still feel like something is following me. Something will often turn the knobs in the shower while I'm in it. We hear coughing and breathing and moving around upstairs where our bedroom is and often hear knocking on the thundering door. Just the other day, my mom saw a shadow behind me that was not my own. I do not think whatever is following me is malicious, but I do not know why it is following me either. I used to think it was my dad because on the anniversary of his death this year, my Alexa started playing a song about heaven randomly while no one was upstairs near it. But considering it follows me to the shower, I don't think that's who it is. Anyways, thanks for listening to my story. Hope you guys have a wonderful week, and I hope you're doing safe during this crazy time. All the best, Brianna.
What does malicious mean?
It means negative. It means like it's something that's going at you with ill intent, with mean intent. That's not positive.
Okay. Yet again, what the, like, the invisible person holding the balloon. That's creepy, especially if it's going to watch you sleep.
It is. And then I agree that she connected the dots going, this thing seems to follow me to the bathroom, so it's probably not my dad that's haunting me. But you have to wonder, you know, is there more than one thing going on here in this house? Is dad there being a protective spirit? And is there something else that maybe ghost dad is there protecting this individual from on the other side?
Yeah, you really got to think that.
You have to wonder. And if there's probably five people out there, and you won't get this joke, but there's five people out there right now going, crack a ghost dad joke, involving the movie from 1980 something starring Bill Cosby. and I'll refrain, but you don't even know the dark story of that, of this individual and ghost dad and Bill Cosby. So we won't go there on today's episode, but I'll just let you know, the five of you who are thinking it, I was thinking it too. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Should I fill you in?
Yeah.
Okay. There was a movie in the 80s called Ghost Dad. And Bill Cosby was the star of it. Bill Cosby was also the star of The Cosby Show and a whole bunch of other shows that, and he had a really good positive image as a real kind of like America's dad, if you will. And the sad, horrible part ending to his story is in the last handful of years, he was accused by tons and tons and tons and tons of people of doing very bad things to them, and is in prison now. And so it went from being this, you know, this do no wrong good guy to like, oh my gosh, we had you totally pegged wrong. We're all thinking you're this wonderful person. And it turns out not to be so much the case. So that's the PG version of it. But they mentioned Ghost Dad, and I remember that movie. It was a bad movie. It really wasn't that good back then. But anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Next story, it says, so my whole life I've been able to see and occasionally hear spirits. I guess I can start with the first memory of the paranormal activity. When I was younger, my siblings and I used to live with my grandparents. My grandparents have a decent-sized house. It looks nice, but you just feel something. No one except my grandparents can walk through this house with the lights off. I mean, when I'm going to the back bedrooms, I sprint from the kitchen to the hallway to the light switch, speed walk down the long hallways to the room, turn the bedroom lights on, and then reach for the hallway switch and turn it off and close the door. You feel numerous things, and the hair on my body always stands up. Always. Here's a story of Christmas Eve. And Christmas Eve growing up was spent at my grandparents' house with the whole family. Two aunts, one uncle, two siblings, my parents, four cousins, and of course, my grandparents. Once it was time for bed, all the kids would sleep in the same bedroom. I was 7 at the time this event happened. All of us kids are sleeping. I wake up because I hear some whimpering, feel some shuffling, and hear my little cousins gasp. I look over and my older brother is literally hovering above the bed, eyes open, arms and legs limp, just frozen. I run out of the room and run to my grandparents' room where all the adults are, and I am freaking out. My grandpa is yelling at me, telling me to go back to bed. I run back to the room and my brother is just staring at me wide-eyed, and all the kids are now awake, freaking out. I run back and forth a couple of times, pleading for one of the adults to help us. Finally, my mom comes to see what's going on. I run to the room and my brother is still frozen in the air. As soon as my mom is about to come in, he drops to the bed. My younger cousin and I are the only ones who remember this. The rest of the kids were 3 and under. My brother has no recollection of the incident. He lived in that room until he was 19. Fast forward to 4th grade slumber party. In fourth grade, I had a slumber party at my grandparents' where we decided to camp out in a tent in the backyard. It was my brother, myself, my younger cousin, same one as Christmas Eve story, two of my friends and my younger sister and another younger cousin, both about 4 to 5-ish. We all decided to go explore the creek behind my grandparents' house. To ensure the safety of the younger ones, we connected them to a rope so they couldn't run away. To get to the creek, you must climb down some big cement steps. So one of us would climb down, then another person would hand us the little ones. We're exploring, having fun, then suddenly he hears a weird noise coming out of the tunnel. We look, and very slowly we see a black blob start coming after us. We all start coming back up to the house. We're pretty much tossing the little ones up the cement blocks as we can hear this thing chasing us. We get back to the property, shut the gate, and run to my grandparents. My gap chalked it up to an animal or something. It definitely was not normal. Later that evening, the tent is up. My friends, cousin, and I are sleeping in the tent. We get woken up to something walking around it, brushing up against it. We're all scared, and I yell, thinking it was my grandpa playing a prank on us, but he would have been laughing and letting us know. We decided to run to the screen room outside the screen patio with the screen door that had a lock. After we were in, I walked through the house and saw my grandpa sleeping on the couch. He still denies it was him at the tent. Later that night, we're all asleep again, and I wake up to my friend pushing me. It looked like the time was about 3:05 a.m. I tell my friend, "What?" "Look." She looks at the door, and that's when I see it. The doorknob is moving by itself, and there's no one on the other side. It keeps moving for another minute, then just stops. We turned on the light and decided we did not need to sleep that night. Anyways, these are two of my true stories. If you have any questions or want to hear more, please let me know. I would love to share them with your podcast.
Either something or someone was trying to get in or out of that door as that doorknob was moving.
Mm-hmm. But what did they want is the question. Are they just there trying to torment the kids? Was there a message trying to be given? Were they just trying to go about their day? And those kids happened to all be there at the same time.
Or was it something, a completely different action that they were trying to do?
That is the unsolved mystery. I don't know. But when you're a kid, everything can be very, very scary. I feel bad because it's like some of the older kids thought, "Oh, we're going to bring the little ones with us because they'll have a good time and we'll take care of them." And kudos to them for taking care of them. But you don't take, 4 and 5-year-olds down to the creek in the middle of the night, as fun as that may seem.
And then toss them up cement blocks.
It's incredibly dangerous even without ghosts. But kids sometimes, will be kids with what they're doing. So, not to go out wandering at night, right?
Right.
Okay.
If anything, I would.
I can barely convince you to go out at night holding my hand to go look at our graveyard.
Exactly. Because you already put that fear in my head of the other day when you said, "I don't want Harper to find me dead in the graveyard."
So we set up our Halloween decorations the other day, and Jen was out of town. It was just me and Harp, and we set up our big graveyard. If you want to see pictures of it, it's up on our Facebook pages or Instagram, and turned out really good and creepy, and it's all lit up with spotlights and stuff at night. And the first night that it was up, Harp had gone to bed already, and I was up working on some things here in my office, and it was dark. It was around midnight. And I thought, I wonder if the solar lights are working good down there, because it's quite a ways down from our house. And I wanted to go. I was really curious to make sure that they were working, because these were solar lights from last year. And, sometimes you got to flip the switch. Sometimes they're not charged. Sometimes they're just dead. And I thought, well, maybe I'll just take a walk down there with a flashlight myself and take a look and see, how it's all going. Then I thought, no, we're kind of out in the country. I'm the only parent here at this moment in time. And, there could be animals potentially out there. And so I said to Harp, I said, I don't want you to, me to be mauled by a bear or something. And then you find me dead in the graveyard in the morning. So.
Yeah. So that's now a big part of my anxiety.
Well, I guess it's a good one. It's a cautionary tale in one way, shape, or form. It's don't go walking outside at night alone, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't do it. I heeded the cautionary tale that I told myself, and then I passed that story along to you. So now you will not get the idea of grab the flashlight and go explore at night.
I know.
So it worked without you having to experience running from an animal.
I know, but it's still one of my fears now.
Well, it's a healthy fear to have. Let's put it that way. Not all fears are bad. Some fears are good. And if you can get a fear in you that is rational and good and can save your life through a cautionary tale, which is what I told you, and I didn't tell you this happened to me. It was just more of a just in case. And it something like that, that's a good one. If I were to tell you a story like, don't go on the back porch at night because the boogeyman is there and he's going to eat your hands or something. Now, that's not a productive cautionary tale because that's not remotely true or accurate. That's just me trying to scare you.
Exactly.
But what I told you was something that there's animals out there. And me, as a grown adult, I don't want to go out there by myself. In a group of us, that's, you know, it's a little different. But one person by themselves alone and no one else around, that's a different story. So it was a cautionary tale that worked. And I didn't have to go into some sort of weird, gruesome detail like old children's cautionary tales would do. Like Strul Pita and all different. There was actually these old, horrible books that they're called cautionary tales for children. And they had these just horrible
thoughts
and illustrations in them of just fantastical things that were very scary, but they were meant to teach a child not to do certain things so they wouldn't get killed or hurt or things of that nature. Now, everyone should have a somewhat of a dose of that. Some of it's just common sense. But in, you know, before internet, before TV, before you would have, you know, maybe seen these thoughts in and have them put into your mind by watching things in other places, they came from storybooks.
What do you mean magical?
Not magical. I didn't say magical. I said
you said magical.
No, I said fantastical.
That's
meaning they some of the stories were not very realistic or accurate as to what reality is. They were just more scare the kids. Like the boogeyman story is a fantastical story. It's just not there. The boogeyman's not on the porch. He's going to eat your hands. It would be stories that were, they would like, if you don't do this, the fairy will come and take your hair or things like that. If you don't comb your hair, it was more like do this chore or do this thing to keep yourself, you know, well, or said scary entity is going to show up and feast on your fingers or something like that. It wasn't just something straightforward like don't go out at night alone because there's wild animals, which is just very straightforward. I'm not saying don't go outside because Edward Scissorhands is out there and he's going to chop your hair off or something like that. It's just, you know, one's fantastical, one lies in fantasy, one is just factual. So that's the difference. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. So that's what that is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here.
On to the next story.
Yes. Let's go to this one. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. I've been listening to your podcast for over a year now. I think it was around a year. It was nearing Halloween when I started looking it up. And I've really enjoyed the stories, and it makes me feel like anything that I experience that seems out of the ordinary couldn't be that much out of the ordinary if other people are having experiences too. I am out in Yucaipa, California. My name is Kylie. So weird to like introduce myself. But I have a quick little story about my grandma that happened a couple weeks ago. So I don't really have a lot of like paranormal experiences, not like anything that really stuck with me. But I do have a lot of deja vu, and I've had a lot of deja vu, all my life probably, you know, multiple times a year, like probably even up until like once a month most of my life, I've had deja vu. But this last year, I've had deja vu probably once a week at least. And I always take it to mean that I am where I'm supposed to be, and God or whomever is reminding me that I am where I'm supposed to be in that moment. So the precursor to the story, it involves deja vu. So a couple weeks ago, I was in our kitchen of our new house that we just bought a month ago. And it was built in 1930. And so it's our place. And we moved in, we were settling in, and a couple weeks ago, I'm in our kitchen doing my normal routine. I'm making juice. And that's something that I do regularly. Almost every day, I make fresh juice in a juicer. And I'm peeling oranges, and my cat, who is a big, fat, 20-pound, long-haired cat, is starting to meow a lot, and he's usually very quiet and to himself. He kind of hangs out, you know, by himself and chills usually, you know, or he might sit just out of reach of you. Not really a lab cat. And anyway, he's going and circling around my legs and putting his paws up on the cabinet, which he never does, reaching up and meowing. And he never has this full meow usually. He usually has a very quiet meow if he ever tries to meow. but he's doing this really, like, kind of urgent, loud meow that I don't usually hear him do. So I start talking to the cat because that will make me seem even more sane on this recording. And I'm saying, you know, hey, what's going on? And, you know, what's up? Why are you doing that? And, of course, he's a cat, so he just keeps meowing. And he eventually jumps up on the counter, which I normally would be like, get off the counter. But he jumps up on the counter, and I'm just so intrigued at his behavior that I'm trying to figure out what he's looking at or smelling or interested in. And so I'm talking to him while he's on the counter and he's meowing, and then he eventually gets off the counter and he starts looking around. And at some point, a couple minutes into this, he is standing in the doorway of our washroom in our kitchen, and I said, ghost, kind of like a joke. And I said, okay, if it's a ghost, they're welcome here too, you know, this is their house too, and it's okay. And they're not going to hurt us, I think I said. And he got quiet, and he just started acting normal again. He went away. And what ended up happening after that, I kind of didn't think of it, you know. And I'm by myself a lot, so I do a lot. But I didn't think that much of it. And so I started to my juicing, and I had this long deja vu involving, like, you know how it's like a question of specific things that you're noticing? Well, it was like peeling the oranges. I heard a song on the radio. I had a thought in my head about something I could, like, do with my dad. And then I went to the back and I saw the specific view, and I saw these specific little ducky things that we have out by our pool in the back. And I thought great grandmother had passed away for several years. Years she's been gone, and I thought he would love this house. And it was that sequence of events, from like looking at the oranges to the thought to the music to the grandma to everything, that was all the deja vu, kind of a long sequence of deja vu. And I just realized it was deja vu, and I went, oh, deja vu. And anyway, and kind of realized that it had come from a dream I had before we ever existed. I'd had a where that began. And that happens to me. I have boo this year, and then I'll trace it back to a dream that I had. And so anyway, the cool part of this story is, after I thought of it, I was like, oh, I wonder if the cat was kind of like a precursor. Like, if he was maybe grandma was visiting. And so that was kind of that came into my mind. I have no proof of grandma, but I kind of felt like it was her, and she's been on my mind a lot recently. And then what I realized throughout the day as I told the story to other people, husband and my best friend, was that two things happened. One, a couple of days before, I had taken out two afghans that my great grandma had knit and put them around the house. And then the day before it happened, I had opened up a photo album and showed my husband my favorite picture of my older sister and myself and my great grandmother. And I told him it was one of the pictures I've ever taken. And it was like the last picture before she passed away. And I thought that was an interesting coincidence with everything put together.
It is an interesting coincidence to hear that you kind of connect the dots there with the photo on that day, and everything just kind of comes together. Sometimes things just kind of come together like that. So thank you for sharing that that story and that experience with us here on the program. Somebody wants to share a ghost story with us. Where do they call?
855-853-4802.
Or, of course, you can write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, become an EPP, an extra podcast person, and support the program. $5 a month gets you access to all of our bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Harper, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.